questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn!
Mr. Cranston, good morning to you.
How are you going?
Ben Cranston, PhD candidate in School of Biological Sciences here at the University of Auckland. Thanks for coming to the studio this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Because you're going to talk to us about the way that the climate affects our big trees, our big show pony native trees.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of here mostly to preface the work itself. It's still very much in the initiation phase of a longer sort of a... It was started out by my supervisor. It's a five-year Rutherford Discovery Fellowship project. And yeah, so I'm still kind of out in the field during the wet winter, although not so much today. So I don't have any room to complain these days. It actually has been quite nice. But over the winter, I was out there digging in the mud and making sure that the field site gets all set up. So,
but this is your dream come true, isn't it? Surely.
Well,
that's what everyone's at the university, you know, living their dream, surely.
You know, this time last year, I was in a pharmaceuticals lab, and I didn't know that I would be, you know, out in the forest getting to play and, you know, get my hands wet.
Jackpot!
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good opportunities.
And what sort of trees are we talking about here? What sort of, are we talking about the forest in general in New Zealand and the way it's affected by climate change, or?
Well, so... Initially, we were hoping to kind of get more than one species, but right now I'm focusing mainly on the king of the forest, the kauri trees.
Woo!
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful tree.
So they're really important as they kind of set their foundation species out in Northland Forest. So they'll serve for good proxies for other future work, I hope. And we already have some good baseline work from my other lab mates. So
is there a reason you start at the top of the chain like that, or? You know, is it because they're the most...
They're sexy, that's for sure.
They're real sexy. Yeah. You'd know too, because you're part of the university. There's some sneaky big kauri trees around Auckland that they don't tell people about. Big ones.
Yeah, so my
change the topic, Mike. Yeah, don't talk about those. You can be fine.
We try not to advertise the sites.
I'm not saying where they are. I'm just saying that maybe I've come across them a couple of times. Just
that
saying,
we work at.
Amazing,
so I'm out at a Huapai Scientific Reserve out in West Auckland, sort of the north extreme of the Waitax, and it's.
Is that what it's called? The Huapai Scientific Reserve.
Very unofficially.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. I like that. A bit Stranger Things, but yeah. Yeah, yes, cool. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's still thankfully dieback free. So if that should change, then
that's
my whole project would obviously change. But
that's the is it a virus? Is that what the dieback is?
So it's a pathogen spread through the soil.
It's been affecting the kauri, hasn't it? Is that the one?
That's definitely outside the scope. I hope for my purposes.
So how do you sort of take it through? I mean, you could cut it down, check its rings out there to check out some fairing.
Yeah,
but that's not the best thing to do with a native tree that's protected, is it?
Definitely not. There has been a bit of tree ring work out there for sure, and it's been really important to see how these trees have been using water and storing water. And they're
when you're so
important.
Mammoth.
Yeah, they're hugely important for the carbon cycles and the nutrient cycles out in the forests. Kauri definitely serve a huge purpose in kind of seeing past climates. They're among the oldest trees
totally,
in the world.
Totally, right? Because you can look at the rings and you can see where it was a drought year or a very wet year, right?
But this is the thing, you have to cut it down to do that. Surely you just, with one fell down.
Yeah, there's definitely... So. I guess the main object I'm going to be looking at is sort of the above ground processes for water usage and some carbon.
And how do you measure that?
Yeah, there's more clever ways, thankfully, than just chopping down and drilling for the whole ring, thankfully. So I'm installing these sap flow sensors, which measure the ring.
What, sorry?
They're called sap flow sensors, and you don't want to be building them like I have been for the last 6 months. But
it's in the past now. They're done.
Not quite, no. it's still too fresh. So they go into the tree. There's one little probe with the heater on it.
Oh, God.
And another one below it that just kind of, so there's a thermocouple that measures the heat.
I'm just imagining being a colder tree, thousands of years old, 1,000 years old, and just
and
never expecting, expecting that one day you would have a probe go into you.
Thermal probe.
Yeah. A thermal probe, too. That's the worst I've ever.
Well, my supervisor fancies us tree doctors, so.
Okay, all right. Because, I mean, you're being all care and attention, isn't it? And,
yeah, that's a welcome visit, you know. From
And, you know, these trees have been through some amazing times. You know, this nation of ours, this young, what's the burgeoning nation of ours, has experienced very extreme changes to its climate, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Already
in
its short life.
So how do these sap flow sensors give you data with which to measure climate and humidity and water usage?
Yeah, so
a light comes on.
A light comes on.
This is kind of, I'll back it up. So we're going to kind of take the whole climate change scenario, which isn't, thanks to the maritime climate, it's not something that the forests have been traditionally thought of as a huge problem, but it's definitely something that can have some more indirect impacts. So measuring drought is they're going to be exacerbating and increasing in frequency in the future. So it's something that we're looking at is serving useful, you know, data sets for how forests might respond in the future. So,
the study that you're doing, when does it sort of wind up, or is it ongoing? And when do you get some results where you can start going, "Hey, everyone, look."
Yeah, we'll see how that one works out, too. We're going climbing next week to install some more sensors up in the actual canopy, so that's super exciting. And it was initially expected to be kind of an ongoing, at least a five-year, you know, sort of drought experiment. So we're actually going to be putting out these big tarps and covering the forest floor and diverting the water. So hopefully the trees, don't get...
It's quite a project, isn't it?
It's quite a project.
And this is the first time this kind of data has ever been gleaned, right?
Yeah, at least in New Zealand. And even still, it's pretty rare that they are actually setting through fall exclusion experiments up like that in natural forest settings. They're usually done kind of more in the plantation zones, which are a lot simpler and more straightforward to measure everything. But so that's part of the challenge and it's part of the fun, is just getting everything ready to collect, you know, for the big drought experiments.
Ben, will you hold hands with this for a moment?
Yeah. Yeah, this is important.
Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck. The sake of this nation.
Yeah.
Doing good work. Thank you very much, Ben Cranston, for coming in this morning. And all the very best to you for that project.
Thank you, sir.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.